Hey, does money make you happy or does it make you sad? Think about that. In a moment, best-selling self-development author joins us, Ken Honda. We are going live to Japan to talk about happy money. And welcome back to Coast, George Nori with you. This is going to be a fascinating moment here. Money and happiness expert Ken Honda is a best-selling self-development author in Japan. He studied law at the Waseda University in Tokyo and entered the Japanese workforce as a business consultant and an investor. Ken's financial expertise comes from owning and managing several businesses, including an accounting company, a management consulting firm, a venture capital corporation as well. His writings kind of bridge the topics of finance and self-help, focusing on creating and generating personal wealth and happiness through deeper self-honesty. His book is called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hello, George. I'm so excited to be here. I don't know if it's good evening or good morning or wherever you are.
I'm in Los Angeles, where it is 12:11 a.m. in the morning, Friday morning already.
Yes, yeah, so I'm calling from your future. It's 4 p.m.
Now, when we talk about happiness in money, first of all, tell me about happiness, where you are as a happiness expert. Well, how did you get involved in that?
So money and happiness are two different subjects for most of the people.
Right.
But for me, I was born into a unique family. My father was a very successful accountant, and he taught me everything about money. So I learned a lot about money when I was 5, 6, 7. And at the same time, I learned that there are two kinds of people, happy people and unhappy people. And among wealthy people, there are happy ones and unhappy ones, and also among regular people, happy ones and unhappy ones. And I wanted to know the secrets of how you can be happy and abundant at the same time. So I began my journey, and this quest has brought me to a lot of interesting experiences around money and happiness.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people, Ken, with money who are very unhappy. They're just not happy people. They don't act well towards other people. Then I've seen some people who don't have a lot of money at all, and they're delightful people as well. Somewhere along the line, it'd be nice to have a middle ground there, huh?
I totally agree with you. And then I've interviewed so many people later on to help my career as a writer, but I realized that happy people tend to have a happy attitude toward life. And among those, there are people with happy attitude about money. And I was fascinated with what they do with their money. And I did a lot of interview. And as a result, I came up with this idea, happy money.
And we're going to get into that. And it's, you know, it's good to have enough money where you're not stressed, you're paying your bills. You know, you don't have to run out and buy a Rolls Royce or anything like that. But, you know, it's nice to be comfortable. I think that would be everybody's goal, wouldn't it?
Yes. But the funny thing is, you know, when you're making little money, survival is your main issue. But as your income goes higher, all the things you didn't buy are suddenly in your eyesight. And then you're starting to buy a bigger car, a more expensive house, and more expensive clothes, and you tend to eat out at a nicer restaurant. So even if you make twice as much, you have a hard time making both ends meet. So you really have to face your attitude toward money. Otherwise, this world, especially in the modern world, there are so many ways to trick you into spending more money.
And what do you mean, Ken, about unhappy money? What is that?
So unhappy money is, I'm sure everybody has experienced in their life, but that makes you feel so frustrated when you receive it. Like, oh, you know, I should deserve more. And also when you spend it, it gives you bad feeling, resentment, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
So unhappy, in short, makes you very unhappy. It's not how much you have or how much you make. It just brings you misery.
And, you know, for me personally, let me tell you my definition of happy money for me. And that is being able to use it to help other people. And to me, that makes me happy. If I can help my kids or a friend or somebody who needs it, to me, it's worth it to do that.
That's so beautiful to hear. Everyone has experienced happy money in our life. And like parents give us some money, mm-hmm. even stranger. One time I lost everything in New York when I was 19. And a stranger gave me $2 so I can get on the subway.
Oh.
You know, it brought me to tears because I was in such a desperate mode. So, you know, the people who just so generous and give money to a stranger, that's happy money.
Do you have a lot of homeless people in Japan who and they just hang out at corners and places like that?
We don't have that many because our social security system is a little bit different.
Yeah, we have a lot here in the United States, way too much, and it's heartbreaking. And I find myself, you know, when I pull up at a stoplight in my car, it's almost impossible for me not to help them out. They're at the corner, and you know, whether they're doing it as a scam or they really need it, I don't care. But to me, it just makes me feel better that I helped them out. A couple weeks ago, there was a couple, mother, father, and their child outside the post office. And they were holding up a sign, you know, help us, please. And I did. And it just, I don't know, it just makes you feel better. It really does.
Wow. Wow. You're so generous. I wish all the people were like you. And I think we need more people like you who just know how to spend and also create the flow of happy money.
My producer Ken, whom you just talked to, Tom, mm-hmm. he will every once in a while be in a grocery store, and then he will selectively pick someone who he thinks might need the money, and he will go up to the cashier, and while they're in line, and say, "When this person gets to the line, tell them it's all paid for." And
wow.
and he'll do that. He'll buy a basket of groceries. He doesn't even look at how many they have, but he'll buy a basket of groceries, and he'll do that once a month or so. And I asked him. I said, "Tom, why do you do that?" And he said, "It makes me feel good."
Wow, so, that's so beautiful. He will be in my next book.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah,
and
because
a little bit of what he did rubbed off on me. There was a lady in the grocery store right in front of me, and she did not have enough money to buy everything she had in her basket. She came short and had to take an item and put it back, and I bought it for her and just gave it to her. I mean, it was like $3. It was nothing.
Yeah, that's but, beautiful.
But that's is and when you talk about happy money, is that partially what it means?
Yes, exactly. And I see it everywhere. When you focus on happy money, like 8 years ago when Japan was hit by a big earthquake, we got so much food, water, supplies from North America, you know, U.S. And what's amazing is that we got showered by the generosity of all the people. And we are so grateful for all the support we got. And it's so amazing to witness how happy money circulates in the world when you focus on it. You know, when the hurricane hits or the earthquake hits, war and the famine. And so I see there are so many generous people in the world, more than you think of.
By the way, you invented the Honda motor car, didn't you?
I wish. My grandparents.
That would be great. A lot of couples, married couples, will fight over money.
Yes.
To the point where it destroys the marriage. What do you do about that? How can you get people to just chill out a little?
Yeah, I've done a lot of family counseling in my practice. And what's interesting is that they fight over something so little, but it seems so big for them because there are different money types, as I analyze it. You know, there are money saver type, compulsive saver. They love saving. And the other ones are compulsive spender. And they usually get married somehow. It's a mystery of human psychology. You know, they are attracted to one another. Because I think the saver person is attracted to the spender because he or she knows how to have a party, have fun in life. So the other one, the spender, feels they are attracted to the saver because that person symbolizes security. So those people they're attracted to each other, get married, but after 4 or 5 years, the same exact reasons that they're attracted to, you know, they started to annoy them.
Mm-hmm.
They're so different from one another. So unless we know that there's a different money type, we get into fight without knowing, because we feel the way the other partner is doing is definitely wrong.
Can you be too cheap with your money? It's, you know, how much, regardless of how much you make?
Yes, because even if you make millions of dollars, you know, when you don't feel you have enough, you go so cheap. Like the other day, I interviewed a very wealthy man. I asked him, do you feel wealthy? And he says, not at all, because I don't have a private jet. And then, I talk with a guy who has a private jet. I ask him, how do you feel to have a private jet? He says, well, I don't feel wealthy because my private jet only seats 6 people.
Wow.
So, you know, wow. His friends have a bigger private jet.
Exactly.
He feels like he's, you know, having a very small car, and that's somewhat embarrassing for him that his private jet only has 6 seats. So how much ever you make, if you are not content with how much you have and appreciate, you feel like, ooh, I don't have enough. And that gives me an unhappy feeling, too.
And don't you think, Ken, too, regardless of how much money one makes, you have to have health and take care of that first?
That's so true. And much money doesn't necessarily help you to feel healthy and wealthy and happy.
One of our regular guests on our program wrote a little snippet for you, Lynn McTaggart, on the back of your book.
And, yes.
She's a wonderful person with
the... Yes, I love her, yes.
Great concepts and stuff like that, too.
Uh-huh.
So what do you recommend to people who, you know, they have a job, they're making money, they're paying their bills, they're probably not saving a lot, they're not getting ahead. How can they become a little happier with their money?
So my mentor, Wahei Takeda, who's called Warren Buffett of Japan,
mm-hmm.
he said, there's only one thing, arigato your money, appreciate your money. So as long as you appreciate your money coming in, money going out, you feel happy. And then it takes a little practice. When you receive money next time, just say thank you or arigato when the money comes in. And also when you spend it, also feel gratitude and about that. And once you start this, cycle of appreciation, and when you appreciate, and somehow it gives you joy and happy feeling that you are in this cycle of abundance.
Is the compulsive spender, Ken, happy?
Compulsive spender cannot feel happy, because the second he or she buys the stuff and brings it to the car or to home, they already starting to feel depressed.
They want to go back out again and buy some more,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they feel like the happiest when they or bring it to the cashier. But the funny thing is, their happiness level goes down so fast after they get the stuff. And the funny thing is, they don't even try the dress they bought, you know, or the bag. It's put in a closet. So that means that the compulsive spender people, they spend the money to feel the control. So the more you spend it, the more you need control. So that's why they cannot stop until they file bankruptcy.
I had a friend whose wife, they're not married anymore. Maybe this is why.
Yeah.
Who would be a compulsive spender of things, including, let's say, brand new shoes,
yeah.
to the point where she never took them out of the box.
Yes.
She exactly. would buy them brand new, put them in her closet, stack them up, but never put them, you know, take them out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do people do that? You know, 50 pairs of shoes, and you never use them.
It's because they lose interest. The second they buy, you know, they buy things. So they're interested in buying stuff.
The high, the rush is buying something, isn't it?
Yes. So they're not interested in the product or services by itself. But, you know, George, what's interesting is the compulsive spenders, they happen to get married with compulsive moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
So the money she spends will be will come from her husband or his husband, who are making so much money. So this cycle of making so much money and the partner spends so much money, it's so interesting, you know, life goes that way.
What about the compulsive saver, Ken? What about that person?
Yeah, compulsive saver was born and brought up in a family where they have so much fear. If your parents or grandparents grew up in a Great Depression time or recession time, they tend to feel fear around money. So they don't want to spend it. So one of my friend's grandparents grew up in this depression time. So what they were saying is, like, save your money in case something bad happens. So compulsive saver feels secure and comfort when they save some money. So they are so scared of spending money. So that way they can enjoy life.
They're constantly looking at their bank account or whatever just to make sure it's still there, huh?
Yes, they seek security in the numbers of the bank account. And it's a kind of sad life to do that because they have no life to enjoy.
Now, you're a parent. You've got a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And how have you handled money with her?
So with my daughter, it's a combination of happy money, and we have a family tradition of saving money, too. So I grew up in a family where spending money is a crime.
A crime, so, really? Okay.
Yeah, so my father was making a lot of money, but he was in fear of spending money. So I was told, like, when we stay in a hotel, which we didn't do a lot, but I was told that mini bar, the black box,
mm-hmm.
gives kids electric shock when they touch it.
You touch it, you get zapped, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, when you pull out, it's going to be charged on the bill.
Yeah, the minute you move a bottle, you get charged for it.
I know. So I was told, you know, don't go near it because it's going to give you electric shock. So I was born and brought up in that kind of family. So if I'm not careful, this mentality comes up. So my daughter often teased me, like, you don't have to go so cheap, because I try to, you know, go into saving. But when I'm in a regular mode, I'm happy with my money. But it's so interesting how my parents' words still influence me.
They sure do. They always do. They stay with us. Yeah. Would you say your father's money was unhappy money?
Half happy money and half unhappy money. Because part of him, he was enjoying helping his clients, but part of him wanted money to be secure.
Yeah.
But also, he did it for the family, too. So I can't blame him for that sense.
No, I mean, having some security is smart.
Yes.
But it shouldn't be at a point where you aren't enjoying your life.
Right. So I appreciate him so much for giving me all the money lessons, but at the same time, he gave me this fear around money, because I wrote in my book, one time I came back from school, my father was crying so heavily, and I found out from my mother that my father's clients committed suicide. Not only he committed suicide, he killed entire family and committed suicide.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
horrible.
We have a term, family suicide. So after experiencing his heavily crying, and he was in charge of the funeral, and after that, he went into depression. So before then, we have a lot of moments when we laughed a lot and did a lot of camping and,
mm-hmm.
and trip, family trip. But after that, he got depressed, and we lost smile, too.
Yeah, Ken, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, but we will come back and talk more about happy money on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Ken Honda with us. His book is called Happy Money, and of course, we'll take calls with Ken next hour. Ken, what would you really like people to get from this book, Happy Money, when they read it?
Okay, thank you. That's a beautiful question. Most of us are so afraid of money, or feel the frustration around money. So after reading my book, I hope people will find money as your friend rather than your enemy or some scary thing. And I want people to start following their heart and do what they really love. Because ideal situation is focus on life and focus on what they want to do and forget about money. Because money is supposed to support you instead of you support for money.
Well, you know, the old Beatles song, the money can't buy you love. It can't buy you happiness. It gives you the impression that you are, but there's a root cause, I think, for why people feel the way they feel. And money doesn't really have anything to do with it sometimes, does it?
Yes, yes. Money could be a trigger, but money is definitely making you feel whatever the way you feel. It just reminds you of your past, that you had experiences with your parents and all the trauma, they keep coming back with money.
Do people use money as they do their life? Is there a correlation there, Ken?
Yes. I was touching a little bit about money types. But because of the money types, our life is restricted to certain things. If we are a compulsive spender, we cannot have enough money. So that means we cannot change jobs, we cannot get out of our town, or we cannot go to college or something for higher education. And if we are a compulsive saver, also similar issues happen because if we have a fear in spending money, we cannot take a risk. So either way, unless we heal our relationship with money, we cannot really do what excites us the most.
Well, that's true. Now, you'd mentioned in Japan they have a different system of security for people. What do they do in Japan that we don't hear in the United States?
So I think the biggest difference would be a medical care. The other day I went to a dentist, and the bill was something like $8. And probably in North America, it could be $500 or $800.
Yeah. Especially if you don't have personal insurance.
Yes, and everybody's insured. So as long as you're a citizen, you don't have to pay so much.
Well, who pays the dentist the difference? The country?
You know, that's what I don't get about medical care in North America. Everything is so expensive. And Japanese doctors, they don't charge as much. So I need to study what's going on, because even if I go to a medical medical doctor, it costs something like $30 or $60, but not like $800.
Jeez.
Unless you go for surgery.
I mean, maybe the government of Japan is dictating how much they can charge you.
Yeah, probably. So I think so that may be a big difference. So we, in general, the fear around money is not as strong as North America, because we have a more like a basic income system. So even if you're unemployed, you get certain benefits, so you don't have to stop to death or just you end up on the street.
Ken, the Japanese, of course, are very proud people. If something goes awry monetarily for individuals, they take it seriously. Some people even commit suicide over it, don't they?
Right. So I think, and also probably the difference is people help each other more, because our families are closer compared to North America. People are more independent in North America.
What is going on since Fukushima? I was on the air live that night when it happened, and we were getting calls from Tokyo on our Skype line about it. What has happened out there these days with that?
So after 8 years, and also 3 days ago, there was a big earthquake. Nobody got injured, fortunately.
That's good.
So that reminded us our experiences 8 years ago. Since then, I think a lot of people started to think about their life more seriously. So what happened afterwards is people in their 30s are getting married, and people in their 50s are getting divorced. That was a very interesting phenomenon that I saw.
Hmm.
And you know, people started changing jobs, which is not so normal in Japan. But I think when you face death, you start thinking what you would regret most. So that's why probably a lot of people are just thinking about their life more seriously.
Ken, who is easier to deal with monetarily? The person who has minimal money, the middle class that, you know, they're average, or the person who has lots of money? Who's easier to work with?
That's a very good question. Actually, I love everybody because all of us have a different kinds of problems. Like in terms of feeling, wealthy people have this feeling of guilt for having so much. And middle-class people, they feel resentment because they feel like somebody is not treating you well or equally. And the poor people feel resentment because they're upset for some reasons that somebody is taking advantage of you. So it's just a different feeling you deal with. And I love each one of them. So I can really feel their pain and embarrassment and shame. So especially poor people are feeling a lot of shame around money. And it's a different kind of shame that you have when you are growing up. You know, you are the only one who didn't have an iPhone or nice toys,
right.
Bicycle. And that's a bad feeling that I don't have that everybody has. So, and that brings up a lot of shame issue. So it's very different.
What about the feeling of entitlement? You might not have it, but you feel like you're entitled to it.
I know. That's, I think, a social plague that's happening everywhere in the world, in China, Japan, Europe, and Africa, India, and U.S., and South America, whoever, wherever I go, people are feeling that we are not getting enough, you know, we deserve more. And so that means somebody else is, you know, taking it. And then we feel like we are robbed. That's why there's a lot of political upheaval, you know, anywhere in the world.
You've dealt with families that have squabbled and fought over property and money. How do you handle that?
So that's also something I'd enjoy when you ask me when I enjoy, because that time when I sit down with left family members, there are siblings, could be wives and husbands, and that's when they get very real, emotional. You know, those especially in Japan, it's hard to talk about money. So all the things, all the feelings they had against one another are really become present and so real when they talk about how to split the money. So, and also I take it as a great opportunity to support the family, to find love in the family. Otherwise, oftentimes inheritance breaks everybody's heart.
Oh, they fight over that too sometimes.
Yes, because
splits up families.
Yeah, it's a different kind of fairness. For some, for example, among my family members, I have a sister and younger brother. I went to a university out of town, and I went to overseas. So I was the costing most in my family, in my siblings. And my sister didn't go to university. That saved a lot of money. And my brother went to a local university, so he didn't spend a dime. And he went to public school, I went to a private school. So when you think of fairness, like, you know, split into three, or should I deduct my college tuition, which I don't remember, or like it, nobody knows. So, you know, being fair is a interesting feeling.
Now, when you deal with individuals. I happen to think single mothers, and there are single fathers too, but they're primarily single mothers who are doing the best to raise a family, their child. Maybe they work, maybe they can't work. That's a tough situation for them, isn't it?
Yes, I really feel for them. And I've done a lot of counseling for free for those people. And what I found out is that generally speaking, we are so good at giving, sharing, but we are so bad at asking. So we are so happy to give whatever we have, but we feel so terrible and also embarrassed to ask for help. And single mothers, they need to ask more help for other people.
I sure do.
From other people. Because, you know, every one of us is so busy. So unless we're asked, we are so busy to notice that somebody needs help. So especially for single mothers, it's a great opportunity for you to be dependent on somebody, your friends or your family members or neighbors. And if you start opening your heart and take a risk of being vulnerable and start asking, incredibly, a lot of people offer you help, both mentally, emotionally, and financially. So I think the key is to ask.
Let's do a little case study here and see how you handle it. Somebody comes to you, a client, they make $50,000 a year, U.S., but they're really not happy. They're not saving a lot. They're spending what they make, but they're just not happy. How do you analyze that?
So first of all, I will probably ask him or her about how they feel when they receive their paycheck.
Okay.
So if they feel like they deserve more, or if they feel like the paycheck they're getting is too little, that's something they can shift. Because and if you work for on your own, your clients, your customers chose you to pay the money to. So once you realize that, you can be more grateful about what's going on.
Is your goal to make them happy?
I would just want to give them a choice. Without knowing, we feel like we are forced to be unhappy, which is not true. With your choice, you can be happy with your money.
You sure can.
Yes. But to do that, you have to really know what's going on in your life. And if you feel like, oh, maybe I could use a little bit of gratitude in my life, your life will be different. For example, one of the participants in my seminar, she was a secretary and she didn't get paid well because she didn't graduate from university. So she was complaining about it. And then she found out that maybe she should appreciate her boss more because she was hired without a college education. So she started appreciating her boss a lot. And a few weeks later, she got a raise.
I knew a guy who has had a pharmaceutical company in St. Louis, Missouri, and he sold it with his brother, and they did very well. And then he took a portion of his profits and put it into a trust for his children. Mm-hmm. And everybody fought with everybody. They fought with each other. They fought with him. And it also got to a point where he wanted to start another business, and he was running out of his own money. Believe it or not, he sold this for millions, and he was running out of money. He wanted to tap into the kids' trust fund that he established. It was his money. And everybody went nuts. They sued him. It was yeah. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it about money that turns people that way?
You know, greed, frustration, anger, and the resentment of not being treated equally or fairly. So if, for example, if his kids were taught about gratitude, they'll be willingly return the money to him, and they wish all the luck their father could have. But obviously, he knew how to make money, but he didn't educate them about the importance of gratitude.
Right, and he became mean when he had money.
Yeah, because,
when they sold the company and they split it up, he split it up with his brother and put, and I'm telling you, Ken, millions away.
Mm-hmm.
He became a different person.
Yes. Money magnifies who you are. So if you're a generous, happy person, that will be magnified. And if you have mean and also coldness in your heart, that would be magnificent.
Yeah, it's got to be there in the first place, right? Those attributes or those
situations. Yeah, so I think in the process of making that millions, he felt resentment about his life. And that resentment was transferred to their kids. So their kids also felt resentment. So it's like a a vicious cycle. So that's why I'm teaching happy money flow, because you either end up being in the cycle of happy money or unhappy money. It's not how much money you make or how much money you have. It's about the energy and feeling you have. So as long as you stay in this gratitude mode, your kids would appreciate you so much. So that's why he didn't teach their kids.
And he ended up dying of a heart attack.
I'm so sorry for that. But he could be a good example of how unhappy money can break all the family, and also that could break her heart, literally.
What do you do with someone who feels trapped? They make a lot of money at work, but they hate their job.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot, too.
That happens.
So, yes, and so once again, I'll ask him or her about how they feel about the money they receive, and also about the money that they have. Because if you make money or receive money with resentment or frustration, your money in the bank has this feeling of frustration and resentment. So whenever you see or feel about the money in the bank, you feel frustrated because it's a sacrifice you made for the money.
Interesting.
So that way you have this resentment to spend the money too.
Ken, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and take phone calls with you. Ken Honda, our special guest. His book is called Happy Money. His website is his name, Ken Honda, like the car, kenhonda.com.